Last week, Pastor Joseph played a word association game with the word holy, and I have some more words for us to play with again this week, and I have my phone, and so we have about a 15-second delay, so I'm going to give you a few of the words, and then I'll come back and let you know what their word associations are. So I'll say a word, and then you type in the comments if you're able. Macaroni and peanut butter. And pencil and milk and soap and Pastor Joseph sitting out here in the pews, and he's giving all the wrong answers to be funny. But thank you, Nicole. Macaroni and cheese. Peanut butter and jelly. Nicole's on top of these, so are you, Donna. Pencil and paper. Milk and cookies. Soap and water. So each of these on their own is okay, but when paired with one another, they become something even more special. Another pairing that works well individually, but much better together, is the pairing of call and response. I want to take you through two texts today. The first is us taking another look and continuing study from last week on Isaiah chapter 6, and the other is the psalm that we heard on the video today. We will be looking at the call and the response. It doesn't make sense to have one without the other. So once we've looked at the call of Isaiah, we will look at how we respond to a similar call as Christians in our everyday lives. Right away, you might be thinking, I'm not called. I didn't have a burning bush experience like Moses. I wasn't one of the 12 disciples. I don't even want to work in a church or be a pastor. I said that once. That's okay. I'm here to tell you that we as Christians are disciples. And as disciples, we are called to serve others through Christ's love. We have to discern that calling. And we must determine our Christian vocation. Let me go deeper with what I mean when I mention Christian vocation. When I think about exactly what Christian vocation is, I think back to when I really began to understand the term, to when I really began to discern what my purpose is in life, though I still continually work to define and reshape my own personal call each day, because it's not going to be the same your entire life or in each moment and circumstance. The term Christian vocation stood out to me when I read a book called The Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne. Shane spent time working alongside Mother Teresa, serving at Willow Creek Community Church. He spent time in Baghdad and was a founding partner of The Simple Way, located in inner city Philadelphia, a faith community that has helped to birth and connect faith communities around the world. He writes this about Christian vocation in his book. Vocation comes from the same root as voice, denoting the hearing of a divine call. Beyond knowing that God has a purpose for our lives, most of us spend little energy seeking our vocation, especially in light of how the needs and sufferings of our neighbors might inform how we use our gifts for divine purposes. So as Christians, we experience a call from God. We think about the gifts that God has given us, and we think about a way in which we can use those gifts to serve others. Let me give you a few examples. Perhaps a person is a chef working in a 5-star restaurant. They might decide to share their talent of cooking a gourmet meal once in a while for those without food, or for someone who just had a baby or surgery or could use an evening away from preparing a meal, or for a family that has been jobless for a long time and has had to change their luxury of going out to dinner to staying in for the evening. Maybe someone is a teacher, and they're able to tutor a child who is struggling in school, or they can work with a high school student to help them prepare their personal statements and college applications. Maybe, as we'll see later, it's the community and school staff who have added to their roles and responsibilities to better serve the community during these times. These are all examples of people living out their Christian vocations. Joan Chittister is a Benedictine nun, and she writes in her spiritual memoir, Called to Question, that we have a purpose in life, and we are given within us whatever it takes to do it. All we need is the will and the courage to be what we are supposed to be. Then everything else in life gets focused on it. Everybody lives to do something that only they can do. Every one of us is called, by virtue of what we love and what we do well, to give something to the world that will bear the stamp of our presence here. We are called to add something to the creation of the universe. She also writes that the awareness that we are yet meant to do more than we are signals where God lies in wait for us to become what we are meant to be. Isaiah's experience of being called gives us some ways in which we are better able to recognize our own calls or our own Christian vocation. Isaiah 6 is Isaiah's temple vision, but more commonly it is looked at as Isaiah's call narrative. It is what we can call a spiritual autobiography. Isaiah's call story is similar to other call stories in the Bible, of which you might be familiar: Moses, Jeremiah, Gideon, and the 12 disciples. Call stories include a process of seeing God. Theologically, this is called theophany, or a vision of God. A sign from God is often followed by an objection from the person, and then a sign or reassurance, just as we heard in Isaiah. Once the person who is called accepts and is reassured, many times God commissions them into service. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." God can call us away from where we are, and we begin to sense that something is different. We feel a tug towards something that we must pursue. Sometimes instead of an unanchoring or a stirring to embrace the world in new ways, risk can look like unearthing the courage to stay in place. That call to hold steady and keep space for people and things we care deeply for, even if from a distance. There's a sense of mystery surrounding the call, one that we may object to by not listening or by explaining it away. A call can come in many forms. We may literally hear a call, have a dream, interact with another human, pay attention to our intuition, or have some other sort of divine encounter. In order to take notice of the call, we must be quiet, unplugged, and willing to encounter the mysterious. When we encounter a call from God, there may be nervousness and uncertainty about where the call will lead us. We might be frightened of the changes in our own lives and others' lives that are bound to happen. We can feel like looking down, turning around, and moving away as fast as we can away from the call, only to still hear its faint sounds in the background. Excitement might also come with the call, as well as a sense of refreshment. After Isaiah's vision of God in verses 1 through 4, we learn that Isaiah feels unworthy to be called and reluctant to respond. This is where the objection to call comes in. Don't we all feel unworthy at times? We might respond, "I'm not good enough." Or, "I'm not ready. I still have a lot to learn." We might have a bag full of other responses. God provided that sign and reassurance for Isaiah, as God does for us. God provided to us through Jesus Christ and provides through him and for us in this time and in this place. Once we have noticed the call and we've determined our feelings that surround that call, we've asked questions, we've discerned and thought about the call, then we can answer the call and receive a commission to ministry, just as Isaiah and countless others have. God has equipped us for the ministry we must do and is ready to be with us along the journey. All we have to do is acknowledge God's call and respond to God's presence. All we have to do. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? But we ask, how do we know that God is present? How is God revealed to us so that we may respond? These are common questions that all of us have. One way that God and God's direction can be revealed is through the Psalms. Psalms, reading the Psalms or using them in prayer will often open us up to the call that God has upon our lives. Like I said earlier, in order to take notice of the call, we must be quiet and unplugged. The Psalms can help us get to this place and learn to know and recognize the presence of God. Let's look at Psalm 19 as an example. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament or dome proclaims God's handiwork. We read that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and in keeping them there is great reward. We are given different places to look for God, and Psalm 19 instructs us as hearers and readers of the word on how to be open to God. In particular, I invite us to look at verse 14. You might hear this a lot in the beginnings when we pray before a sermon. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Isaiah was called after God was revealed to him, and he decided to follow God. We are called. We are called, and these words of Psalm 19 show us how to listen and to respond to the call. Has God been revealing anything to you that you need to consider? Do you need to open your heart and mind so that you can experience God's revelation? What does the prayer from Psalm 19:14 reveal to you about how you can carry out your Christian vocation into your week at work, school, home, in the store, etc.? Are you living out your Christian vocation the best way that you can in the job or place you are currently in? These words reveal what is on the inside, and when they are articulated, they impact others. Focus on the words. Focus on what you are saying in response to God's call, and as you serve others through that call. When we respond to the call, we may still be a gourmet chef, but we will be a different kind of gourmet chef. We may still be a teacher, but we will be a different kind of teacher. Not everyone responds exactly the same way to what the voice of the Spirit is calling them to do with their lives. Not in exactly the same way. But we must respond. We must seek our vocation, listening to the voice of God and the voices of those we are to serve. I want to challenge you. If I asked your coworkers, your classmates, or even your best friend to tell me what they would write in a spiritual biography about you, what would they share with me? Would they tell me about how you are a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ? Would they tell me about how you sat down at lunch with them one day and shared your faith story? How you put aside that major project in order to make sure someone else felt good about the project they were working on? That you made sure to hold open the door to let others walk in or out before you? That you help someone put their groceries in the car in the pouring rain. What would they share? Our responses to our call may sound like some of the examples I have shared, or they may be completely different. Our responses to our calls depend on where we are in life, and our responses might change. Again, the most important thing is that after we listen, we respond. This call is not only a call to examine your relationship with God through Christ Jesus and how it might become deeper. It is also a call to share God's word with others and to serve others. It is a call to reflect on where in life you must respond to the call outside of Sunday morning. After the service lets out and you find yourself at work, school, Zoom, or back into the same old routine too quickly on Monday morning. Take some time this week to reflect on the call from God and your response. Maybe you'll reflect on the call that you've heard and pushed aside already. Maybe you'll reflect on the weeks to come and how to live out that response to your call. Maybe all you need is to recenter yourself on your journey with God. Let us move from our heads to our hearts as we pray the prayer found at the end of the psalm from today. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.